Hallelujah in all circumstances, no matter what. Good times, bad times, trying times, easy times. The word hallelujah must be pressed upon our hearts and come from our lips easily and often when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And as I think of myself, how do you do that? How do you keep hallelujah, raise hallelujah, press hallelujah to your heart in the midst of all situations? Someone spoke to me about, well, it starts with how you study, how you read, and how you go about focusing and meditating on the Word of God. So this morning I'm going to talk to you and use some practical tools about how we are to study and go about reading the Word of God. We'll start first. My father-in-law, Pastor Forney, challenged us to walk through the book of Proverbs, the first month, fall through January. And this weekend, as I read the sermon, he challenged us to reflect and think about some things that were that we heard from the Word of God and also some things that we accomplished that first month. When I reflect, I thought about the things that people do at the first of the year always.
Yeah.
And that's New Year's resolutions.
Right.
We all make resolutions, maybe all know, but we all at some point have made a resolution about something in our lives at New Year's. We resolve to lose weight, mm-hmm. get in shape, mm-hmm. read more books, mm-hmm. Maybe get active more. I'm going to, you know, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We make these resolutions. A big one, a real popular one, is I'm going to read my Bible more, or I'm going to study the Word of God more. Uh-huh. And resolutions, as we know, tend to fail often. They fail because, yes, we are sinners, we fall short of God's glory. They fail because we're lazy, and we get comfortable or okay with the mundane tasks in life and doing all the things in life. They fail because our plans are not the greatest sometimes. But even when all that stuff is great, all that stuff is good, the main reason why our resolutions fail is because our habits don't change. The habits that got us to where we are do not change. When those habits don't change, you will never ever see a change in your life. When you do the same old thing, as the saying goes, you get the same old results. And doing the same old thing and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. And so, a lot of times we do the same old thing and expect different results, and that's insane. And it's never ever going to be productive to do the same old thing and try to get new results. So you've got to do something different. The cool thing about being a father of three, we're a bunch of children who are all different personality, it makes it easy to write a 3-point sermon. Certain things. Because I can use my kids and the things they taught me in life over these last year and a half. It's about how we are to go about studying the Word of God. Because I liken studying the Word of God, as you guys know, to eating. I liken studying the Word of God to eating. Whenever we study the Word of God, the Bible says we break bread, or we are to eat of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. The Word of God goes forth, and we are to nibble upon, munch upon, and meditate upon. There's another word, starts with an M, it's not like meditate, but masticate, which means to chew upon the Word of God. And I'd like to use my three wonderful children and their personalities on how we are to study the Word, because the cool thing about, once again, the way God works and the way he my mind works, is I see my kids as in different stages we are at as we study the Word of God. Where they're at in their eating process right now is exactly where some of us are at and how we study the Word of God. And what to share with you right now. But first, before we open that up, Joshua 1:8 says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything you can. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Mm-hmm. So number one thing is the book of the law, the Bible. This thing, the 66 book love letter that God has written to us, we're supposed to keep it upon our lips. We're supposed to meditate on it night and day, be careful to do everything that the book says, and then you'll be prosperous. It's so easy to pick and choose parts of the Bible we like and throw it we don't like. Mm-hmm. Bible says, you're powerful, you're mighty, The same power that raised God from the dead is inside of you. Ooh, that feels good.
Yeah.
The Bible says, go love thy neighbor, even thy enemy.
Uh-oh.
Hold up. I don't like that part. I don't like that part. All right, no, I don't love my God like him. He didn't say all that. He said, just love him. Don't worry about like stuff. Don't worry about adding 2 cents to it. He said, to go love him, right? Just love him. That's it. The Bible says, you will get all these things, but you must not do this, this, and that. Hold on now. I like doing this, this, and that.
Right.
This, and that sounds fun to me. Mm. If I stop doing this, and that, that's going to be hard.
Yep.
I'm going to throw that part away. But the Bible is very clear that everything, written and being prosperous and successful. I want to get into this with my kids, my lovely children. Put that first picture up for me, please. Oh, look, that second one. Yeah, that one. Naomi, angel baby girl, can do no wrong. If she fusses, it's because she's hungry, wet, and sleepy. Yeah, that's your sissy. Sissy doesn't fuss for no reason. She's not just an avid crier. Matter of fact, hey, girl. Matter of fact, when she wakes up, she doesn't even cry. She starts to kind of lightly babble and talk. Like, good morning, I'm here. I'm up. Come get me when you're ready. I'm up. I'm here. I'm waiting. Patient. Her other two, not the same. But angel baby, they do that. Angel baby, she's last all day. She giggles all day. Sits in her seat, sits in your lap. And she pick her up. She smiles at everybody. That's angel baby. Now, angel baby, it's just not getting introduced to solid food. And those first couple solid food bites, tough. So tough that she would bite them and spit them out of you. She did not like solid food at first. She did not like eating solid food. She was ready for her bottle to come right back or to do some purees. But that first solid bite, which I believe was a mango, she was not having it. She was not feeling it. She was not digging the texture of the solid food.
Yeah.
It is because Naomi was not conditioned to eating like that. So the first point I'm taking notes is we must condition ourselves to eat of the Word of God.
That's good.
We must prepare ourselves for what's to come to us in the Word of God. Psalm 34 says, 37 verse 4, excuse me. Psalm 37 verse 4 through 5 says this, take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. Take delight, great pleasure. We should love to be in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Being in the presence of God is reading the Bible, praying, singing, praying, worship music, being amongst other believers
right.
at church.
Right.
We should love being in God's presence. We should take great delight in being with God. Reading our Bible should not be a task or a check mark or a chore that we have to do because if we don't do it, we're going to be in trouble. When I was a kid, and still to this day, I hate doing dishes. But if I didn't do dishes as a kid, guess what? I got in trouble. Right. So I did them, and there was no delight in washing the dishes. There was no joy in scrubbing the suds, right? There's none. But when I get to the Lord, there's a different kind of joy in life. There's no check mark. There's no task to be checked off. But if we do not prepare ourselves or get ourselves ready for the Word of God, when we go to explore or read or study it, it does feel like a chore. Or it feels like something we've bitten off too much of and we want to spit it out. Matter of fact, you might open the Word of God when you prepare yourself, start reading and be like, these are too many big words. This is too much information. This is so confusing. I'm going to close up and try to get another time. That's what happens when we don't prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God. Well, Pastor Savage, how do I prepare myself? How do I get myself ready to receive the Word of God? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Here are the 5 P's. 5 P's to get yourself ready to receive the Word of God. Number one, you must position yourself to hear from God. Position yourself to hear from God. But that means you take a certain posture, if you will, to hear from the Lord. You know, whenever you are playing sports, so you're playing basketball, You have to position yourself in a way to get a rebound. You don't just get a rebound and it just comes to you. Sometimes it does. But when you position yourself, you box out and block out any distractions of people coming, that rebound's yours. In football, if you are playing on the line, your job is to protect the quarterback. You position yourself in a way, in a posture that helps you to protect the quarterback. Likewise, with the word of God, whenever we position ourselves and posture ourselves a certain way, we block out distractions and we protect that time, we can hear intently from God in that moment. See, position ourselves in a posture of hearing from God is things like turning off the TV, putting the cell phone down. Like, well, I do my Bible on my cell phone. Get a paper Bible.
Okay.
Because what happens is it's so easy to scroll, see a notification, get a phone call, get a text. I'll tell you this. I know with my mom and dad, mother and father in law, they do their quiet time. They don't pick the phone up. You try to call them, it's their quiet time. They will not pick the phone up. I don't care how many times you call, they're not picking it up. So if you don't, in the morning time, I know what the quiet time is. If I try to call them at that time, I just know they're not going to answer. I could be in a burning building, about to be gone. They're not going to answer the phone because they know. They know that I know. Don't call. So if I am in a burning building, I'm not calling at that time. Okay? I know they're not going to pick the phone up. But you better call me. What are you calling me for, my partner? Yeah. But legitimately, and all joking aside, I know that they protect and posture themselves during that time to where they don't take any distraction because they're trying to give the word of God. Likewise, I hope you're doing the same with your time with God. Position yourself like, you know what? I'm blocking distractions. I'm going to a secret room, a secret place, I'm going to a quiet place, a place where I can't get distracted, where no one will take me away from this time with the word of God. And I'm protecting that time, this time, set aside, carved out for God and nobody else. If they don't like that, well, that's just too bad. Because this time, this moment, and this spot, it is reserved my time with God. That's what it looks like to position yourself. Next, you want to pour over. That means reading the passage and paraphrasing its main points. So you want to pour over the word of God. Not only are you reading it, but you are pouring yourself out over it. You're reading it over and over and over again. You're pondering these points, these main points that are coming from this passage. Whatever it is, you're pouring over the word of God. Not just reading it, checking out what you're doing. Like I told my students when I was talking about this, it's real easy to have a streak on the Bible app. On the Bible app, you don't even have to read the scripture. You open it up, your Bible plan, check, check, check. It's like, all right, you completed the day. Don't even have to open it. Don't even have to read a single word. You check all the bubbles and it says you've got a streak. Some people have read about these 500-day streaks. I'm like, that's great. That's cool. But guess what? I know, I'm saying that you do this, but I do know that if you just check those bubbles, it'll give you a streak. If you just open the Bible app, don't read a single word, it gives you a streak. So that streak's not very impressive. What's more impressive to God is that you took the time to pour over His Word. You opened up the Word of God and you intensely read over it and studied it. So pour over. Third thing, you want to pull out. So you want to identify the spiritual principles in the passage. You're pulling out basically the lesson. What is God saying to me in this time? I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to ponder upon it. Pull out, ponder. I don't know yours. This one. Pull out and ponder the spiritual principles. Here's one that I love. This is one of my favorite ones. It's kind of like dad talking about anything and all things. You're going to pose questions about the passage. Ask questions. Why would God do that? Why do you want me to know about Him doing that? What's God trying to say to me in this moment? How can I use this in my life? Pose these questions about the Word of God. It's not a sin or heresy to question the Word of God. When I question its truth or its liability, I'm just questioning what God's trying to say to me. That's okay. Whenever my kids ask me, when I say kids, Carly ask me why, it's okay for her to ask me why she wants to get a better understanding. Not ask me why, because she wants to do something different. Well, why? I'd rather do this. Okay, well, listen. That's too bad. You ask me why for understanding, that's okay. When you're asking God why for understanding, that makes sense. We're not asking as a want to say, this is not true, this is not right, this is wrong.
Last thing.
Plan how you will obey the principles you identified and set a date to do so. Plan how you want to implement these principles and set a date and time to do so. What do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. Oh, God, I'm going to start loving people better. Well, here's how I'm going to do this tomorrow, today, right now. I'm talking about set a date. Oh, God, I'm going to be more obedient in my Bible reading and study. Here's how I'm going to do that. Here's where I'm going to be able to measure that 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now. Make a plan, set a date. Oh, God, I'm coming on a mission trip. Okay, well, I know this mission trip is coming up. That's what I'm going to go on. That's what you call me to do. Maybe I do what I want to go on. That's what you call me to do. That's what I'm going to go. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to set a date. Those five P's are how you get yourself ready to hear from the Word of God. When you prepare yourself and get yourself conditioned to hear from the Word of God, it's kind of like competitive eating. Those guys will eat, stretch your stomachs out. So when it comes time for competition, their stomach will couldn't stretch and they can eat even more than they could in training. Likewise, as we train, when we read the Word of God, whenever God's ready to speak, it's going to flow in and it's going to just fill us up. It fills us up. We don't have to worry about our stomachs getting too full of the Word of God because we've conditioned ourselves to hear from it. We can sit through sermons, we can hear devotions, we can listen to podcasts about the Word of God. It never, ever gets old or tired because we prepared ourselves and we hunger that much for God's Word.
That's good.
So, prepare yourself. Get yourself ready to receive the Word of God. Second thing. Now you got that next one. Yeah! My baby boy, Rudy. The new nickname is Tank, because he's gotten big. If you see him running around, you won't recognize him the same big, but he's got a little chunky. Rudy has no problem with food. Rudy has zero issues with eating. Rudy, you guys know when we first got Rudy, he had a hard time keeping his formula down because of just things that complications with health, being premature and things like that. So he would throw up a lot. And we couldn't keep weight on him. We had to give him 3, 4, 5, 6 bottles just to make sure he could hold out free. You know what I'm saying? So just keep giving him bottles to make sure. And then one day he kind of turned a corner, started keeping the formula down. Okay. We introduced pureed foods. All right. He's doing pureed foods real good. Now, being with Rudy, that we found out, this is probably a few months back, he has no problem with solid food either. And the way he found this out is, typically what happens when I get off work, if Tori's working, I'll cook dinner, and then I'll get all the kids, situated, give them their bottles, give Carter food, make my plate, sit down and eat, right? That's how it goes. So I did all that, got my plate, gave them their bottles, got ready to sit down and eat, and Rudy's in his plate, and when he eats, all I hear is, ah! And I was like, ain't no way he's pulling that bottle, right? I know he's not finished that bottle. I look over, oh, he's not finished, it's like, what, sometimes it gets a little clogged, so I turn over, okay, he's dripping. Here you go. He started drinking it again. I said, cool. I sit back down before I can get that fork up. Boy, what's wrong with you? Like, I know the bottle's good. I can see that. What you're doing is you drop it. And if you never start a playpen, or if you've never seen a playpen, there's mesh on the side of it, right? So you can't quite see over the mesh, but he's hanging down like this, looking at what I got. I'm like, I know this boy does not want this food. He doesn't think he saw the food yet. So I thought. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna give him this chicken. And I went and handed it to him. And when I tell you, he devoured it. He's like, oh. So you're ready for saw the food tomorrow. Got it. So I gave him some more chicken. And it was quiet, but cool. Give a big beat. And chew on it. So I'm enjoying my food. And then of course, not too long. Oh, you want some more of my food? I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get this big old head of broccoli. You're gonna leave me alone. Nah. He devoured that broccoli and wanted more. I said, oh, so you're done with this formula. You're ready for solid food. You're ready to eat more of substance.
Wow.
That's where we need to be at.
That's good.
See, some of us are baby Christians. That's okay. Maybe you're like Naomi. You're a baby Christian. You just started walking with the Lord. Maybe you're just now getting to read your Bible. It's going to take you a minute to get acclimated to study the Word of God. That's okay. But for some of us, we've been eating that formula, drinking that formula for a long time. It's time to move to solid food.
Yeah.
It's time to be more intentional and intent with our Bible study. Yeah. It's time to graduate from here, surface level, get a little deeper.
Yeah.
Get a little more challenging and challenged in our walk with God and our reading of the Bible. See, Rudy was done with surface level. He was like chicken, like broccoli. Whatever you got on the plate, I'm going to eat it, skip it. He didn't care if they had a salty little cracker sandwich. And he would care. He would hate it because he wanted something more than, more substantial than for him. We've got to make that word, that walk. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4 says this. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarrel among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? So he's writing to the people of Corinth, the Corinthians, saying, hey, I can't address you as people in spirit because you're not ready. I have to keep giving you this milk because you're not ready for solid food. I'm going to tell you, most of us in the room are seasoned in our walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have been studying the Word of God for a long time, but we're still drinking. Still sipping on milk when it's supposed to be crunching on the things that are substantial to the Word of God in the body. Like I said, my boy Rudy, when he ate solid food, he had a healthy appetite. He eats. I was at mom and dad's house last night. That's what I got for him. And when I tell you he ate and ate and ate, he's not afraid. Mom said, you have pizza? I said, oh, yeah, you have pizza. She gave it to me, split it apart, had two hands full. Just eat. Gave him a crispy part. Ate it. Meat, cheese, didn't matter what kind it was. Could have been anchovies, probably would have ate too. Eat it. Healthy appetite. We've got to make that with our hunger for the Word of God. Yeah. We've got to want the Word of God so bad that we want to eat and eat and eat. It is not gluttonous to overeat. There's no such thing as overeating on the Word of God. We're quick to eat food and fill up. We're slow to eat the Word of God and fill up. We have to have a healthy appetite for God's Word. Well, Pastor Savage, how do I get deeper? How do I go deeper? How do I study the Word of God in a way that I can get past the milk? Well, I'm glad you asked that again. Because here it is. This was called the soap method. Soap method. You've never heard of this? This is a, of course, soap, four letter word. These are the four letters as an acronym to talk about how we are to study the Word of God. Soap. The S, Scripture. When we study the Word of God intently, we take Scripture, we write it down, we read it over and over and over again. We read it in as many translations as we can to get an understanding of the Word of God. We write it down and write it down and write it down again, because the more we write it down, the more we are apt to remember it. Because we memorize Scripture and put it to our heart, we don't have to have a Bible this every single time. I can be in a situation, I can remember what God said real quick. I memorize it. I memorize it, put it to my heart. It's real hard. Real hard. To put anything else in my heart, it doesn't belong there. My heart's so full of Scripture memorized, my brain's so full of Scripture memorized, hard to put anything else in here besides the Word of God. Think about a jar full of clear marbles. If a jar is full of clear marbles and it's so full that I can't put a marble in, but if I take any of those marbles out, I make room for other marbles, right? Our life is so full of the Word of God that no room for anything else. There's no room for hatred. There's no room for bitterness. There's no room for deceit. There's no no room for lies and evil things because we feel like that's so much the word of God. Our hunger has to be for that. You know, Jeter eating habits. They say if you get rid of bad stuff, it replaces it with good stuff. Yeah. So if you stop bad snacking, you have to put it in with healthy snacking. Yeah. Stop eating or drinking bad stuff, it replaces it with healthy stuff. Yeah. Likewise, when I walk with Christ, if we're replacing this bad stuff, taking this bad stuff out, yeah. If it's not replaced, it's a void.
Right.
And with a void, it has to be filled.
Right.
Yes.
If you don't fill it yourself, I guarantee you the evil stuff will creep its way in and fill it for you.
That's right.
I guarantee you. That's because we're sinful by nature. So when we take the bad stuff out, okay, I'm going to stop listening to bad music. I'm going to replace it with gospel praise music. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop watching bad things on TV. I'm going to replace it with uplifting things. I'm going to stop reading this bad and evil, vile things. I'm going to replace it with the word of God. I'm going to stop spending my time on things that are not uplifting to the kingdom of God. I'm going to replace that time with time spent with God. That's the only way. Only way. We can change what's going on in our lives by having new, better, and different habits. So a healthy appetite for the Word of God. Stop eating and drinking formula milk. You gotta start eating solid food. Substantial stuff that's going to be uplifting to the body. Observe. You're going to observe what's going on in the scripture. You're going to observe maybe certain words you don't know the definition of, or you never heard before. You're going to observe different characters you never heard before. Who the heck is Gomer, and why is she important? And why is Gomer named Gomer versus a guy's name versus a sheep?
Yeah.
Why would God use that word right there for that purpose? Why would he use a Samaritan woman to get a point across?
Yeah.
Observe. A. Apply. How am I going to make this applicable to my life right now? How am I going to do practically what this Bible verse is trying to teach me about? How am I going to make that applicable and apply it to my life? Last of the P. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for a better understanding of God's word. I'm going to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would go forth and give me the wisdom, because I know wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, to be able to study His Word, to hear from Him, and to apply His Word in my life, to be a better doer of what He's called me to do. So that's what I'm saying to your notes. So, I challenge you in your studying Word of God to use the SOAP method. And the first couple of times you gotta write it down, but after that it becomes natural to soak things and to get deeper in your study of the Word of God. Last one. Kareem. Yeah. 2 going on 20. This attitude. Right? Kari is a good listener when she wants to be. When she wants to be, right? Kari, much like Rudy, has no problem eating food. She has not met anything she does not like. She doesn't like pickles, doesn't like mushrooms. Outside of that, she's pretty good at eating anything else. Now, Kari is the type that if something else is going on, she finds more interested in eating, she wants to do that rather than eat. We'll put her in her high chair, and if I start playing with Naomi, or if something's going on somewhere else, like Carter and Mason running around, all of a sudden she wants to jump down and play. And she's like, done, I'm done. No, you're not going to play for a food, Carter. No, you're done eating your food, then I'll let you down. But what does she do? She packs it in, inhales it, vacuums it in. I don't know if she chews that time, she does sometimes. So she does that, and then what happens next? Not too long afterwards, it comes all back up. All comes back up.
Yeah.
It's regurgitated and it made a clean mess. She's upset because she's thrown up. We're upset because she's thrown up. And it just complicates things. Too often, too many times, with the Word of God, we want to just eat, get done, and move on to the next thing. All right, quiet time. Let me get it done real quick because I got to work. I got to get this stuff all in the house. I got to get the kids ready. I got to, you know, get myself prepared. I got to do all this stuff. So let me get the quiet time away real quick so I can check that box off. Let me say my prayer real quick so I can eat my food because I'm hungry. Let me get to something else. Let me put me blast through this so I can get to the next thing. But I can say I did it. Yes, I came to church on Sunday, but hurry up. I'm going to hurry up to praise so I can get up out of here and I got something to do on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm going to Bible study. Okay, let's go. Anybody got any more comments? No, good. Okay, let's get out of here. Then what you get mad about? Somebody raise their hand and comment. Oh, my God. You know, we'll get ready to pray out here. Who do you call? What's your comments, your questions, your input, what God's put on your heart.
Yep.
That's where we're at. Because when my boy's excited, I said, yeah, get it done. Get up on me. I don't want to spend my whole Sunday, my whole Wednesday, my whole Tuesday, oh, whatever day you go to worship, I don't want to spend all that time. I want to get in, get it done, so I can check it off. I can feel good about myself. Only my quiet time every single day, I can say I've done it. Like I said, with that Bible app, I can check those bubbles. I did it. What was wrong? What the word of God would disagree. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25 says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what it looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will also be blessed in what they do. You know, Carrie gets those notes. We'll say, Carrie, slow down, take a break. And she hears us. She doesn't hear us. She's listening up. These keeps on shoveling it in. She'll even nod her head. We say, take a break. She's nodding her head and just shoveling it in. But she throws something in this. A lot of times we want to, like I said, brush past. But this says we gotta look at it intently. It's be intentional with your study of the Word of God. Like I was talking about earlier. You carved out a time, you carved out a space. You prepared yourself in a way. You started the soap method. You know what God calls you to do, and you are intentional with your study. Study the Word of God is not accidental. That's something you're just gonna fall into, and all of a sudden trip over your Bible and open up and you're gonna start reading. Praise God, it does. That's not how it works usually. Usually you trip, fall into something, you hurt yourself, or an accident, or an injury. But when we're intentional about things, there's a lot less room and space for injury and error. When we're intentional about what we do, we don't need space for error and for things to happen. You know, when I was up in Missouri working with the summer missionary, there were these guys who worked on the ropes course. These guys who worked on the ropes course, and they were telling about how the precautions and intentionality they had to take to do the ropes course. You know what a ropes course is? It is a course, a challenge course. You climb high things, you do these challenging things, usually about 40 to 50 feet on the ground. These guys check, double check, triple check, quadruple check the ropes they do. They have to be so intentional what they're doing because the mission people stay safe and from harm and injury. And I will, you got probably pretty good, because you got probably like, you know, 95, 99% accurate with your stuff. They said, you know what's funny? I said, I don't know what's funny. They said, air traffic control pilots, or air traffic control towers. If they were 99% accurate with their safety measures, there'd be over 1,000 crashes per day. Per day. If they were, you think 99%, that's pretty good. 99% is pretty good. You never know that. But 99% is pretty good. But 1,000 per day if they were 99% accurate. And the thing is, no room. Because we don't have that many airplane crashes per day. They leave no room for error. Likewise, in your walk with Christ, you leave no room because you're so intentional. You leave no room for error. I'm not saying you're not going to mess up with simple issue. I'm not saying you're not going to have time to fall short. But when we're intentional about studying the Word of God and walking with Him, we don't need any room for these distractions that need to come in. there'll be any room for anything to get us off our path. Because when we leave room for something to get us off our path, that can get knocked off the path. So if you get knocked off the path, you have to say, ask yourself, what did that leave room for? Did that leave room for jealousy to creep in? Did that leave room for bitterness to creep in? Did that leave room for envy to creep in? What did that leave room for that's causing us to get off our path? And then you get that out, you replace it, you keep walking with Christ. When we study the Word of God, we must be intentional. We must not do the same old things that got us to where we are today. I'm not saying you're in the best spot today. Maybe you're in a great spot. Maybe you're in the best spot you've ever been is studying the Word of God. But guess what? You can always be better. And to be better, you have to do something different than what you're doing right now. You can't be satisfied with being right here. Even right here is the best you've ever been in the walk of Christ. We can always be better. How do you be better? You prepare yourself to hear the Lord. The five B's. You are intentional and you are hungering after the things of God. You're diving deeper into your study with the soul method. And lastly, you're not checking off a box of where you're at. You are intentional, intently focusing on God and studying His Word. So you have to ask yourself, of these three, where am I at? Am I a baby, like Naomi? Well, I'm not prepared, not ready, but I'm preparing myself, I'm working on it, and that's okay. Maybe like Rudy, you prepare yourself, you're ready to eat what is forming. I have to go after that. I'm ready to eat more of this formula. I'm going to start getting that Bible, challenge myself, and allow myself to be challenged by the Lord. Or maybe like Kari, you're seasoned. You've been doing this. You've been eating solid food, but you're just checking out boxes. Too often, you've just been running through and doing what you got to do to check out a box to make yourself feel good and say, yes, I did it. I'm done with it. Let's move on. And we need to take a step back and say, okay, I'm just checking boxes. I'm not studying the Word of God. I'm reading what it says, but I'm not obeying what I'm hearing. I take a step back. Wherever you're at, I challenge you to keep going. I challenge you to hunger and thirst after the things of God. I've come to find in my 37 years, just 19 years of studying the Word of God, is that there's always something more you can learn. There's always something out there that you can read, that you've read several times, and God wants to do something to you there. I read through Romans many times. I'm reading through Romans right now. And reading through Romans 1, God would do so many things to me. I was like, wow, I skipped over this so many times. Romans 1, verses 8 through 10. And God is speaking to the people of Rome. And Paul is speaking to the people of Rome. And he is saying how he is thanking God he's made a way for them to come see them. And I glanced over that many times, like, oh, yeah. I'll be myself, wait a minute. What Paul's saying is, it is not by his doing that he's coming. It is not by his doing that it has happened. What he's saying is, this is all by God's doing. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't be here. Wow. Missed that the first time a couple of times. What Paul's saying is, hey, because a lot of times we say, oh, sorry, I can't be there, you know, flat tire. Paul's not saying that. Maybe he had a flat tire. Maybe his cart broke, maybe his mule, you know, gave out, whatever it was. He didn't say that. He said, God has not made a way for me to come yet. So I'm not going to. But we'll try to do force things because we want things to happen. So the way to go. Once again, you missed that video. I'm trying to get the good part, quote unquote. I gotta get to that Romans 1:16 part. I need to feel good. I'm unashamed of the gospel. That's great. But you missed that part in between and before. Don't miss over other stuff as you get to the quote unquote good part. The part that you've heard before. Study intently and intentionally the Word of God. It's not an accident. So I challenge you. In fact, my challenge is for this year, I hope your challenge is the same, is to be more intentional about studying the Word of God. Being more innate and saying, I want to carve out time, space, area. I'm not going to let anything distract or pull me away from my time with God. I'm going to desire, I'm going to delight, I'm going to take great joy in that time that I have with God, not just getting through it, but asking God to help me to be somebody who is in it, taking joy and delight the whole entire time, listening, learning, studying, and hearing from Him, and then applying it to my life. Because we study the Word of God like that, we fuss with the Word of God like that, we don't need room for the evil one to creep up or anything. He's just in there looking, how can I get here? If I find a foothold here, a foothold there, if there's a little crack, a little sliver somewhere, I can get in. But then he can't find it. So, all right, I'll move on. I'll come back to this person. I'll move on. Fill your life up with Jesus. Don't leave room for nothing else. Let's pray.
Talk about it.
I thank you. I thank you for your word to death go forth. I thank you for your word that is powerful beyond measure. I thank you that whenever your word is spoken, things change, atmospheres shift, lives are made new and restored. I thank you that your word is useful for teaching, preaching, and reproof. I thank you that your word is infallible, always truth. I thank you that your word gives wisdom. There's mercy and grace in the words of God. There's love in the Bible. The Bible's not a book, but a library displaying your characteristics and who you are. Father God, help us to hunger and thirst after those things. Give the same hunger pains we get from not eating for 2 or 3 days. We have read the Word of God. Help us to chase after you, in your love, your mercy, and your grace. Fill us up with that so we can pour upon others. I thank you for this time again. I pray. Amen.